Is your dominion being unexercised? We're going to talk about dominion exercised versus unexercised today. Lord, I thank you for the word of truth. I thank you, Lord God, that we walk in truth. I thank you, Lord God, that we do not listen to the voice of the liar. I know that we hear the voice of God, and the voice of the liar, we will not allow any entry. We reject the voice of the liar. But I thank you, Father God, that wherever there is a gap, wherever there is an area, Lord God, that we need some more training, fine-tuning, if you will. I thank you that by the Spirit of the living God, we will get that today. Lord, we will get that fine-tuning, that training, Lord God, that we will walk exercising our dominion, our authority. We will walk, Lord God, exercising it, Lord, and walking in the fullness of it, not forfeiting what is rightfully ours. We will not forfeit what is rightfully ours. Thank you, Father God. Lord, they will hear, they will receive this teaching, Lord God, and they will allow it to transform their walk. Because as we allow it to transform our walk, then that is where we walk in a position of God-given authority that never, ever fails. It does not fail. God's authority will not fail. Amen? So I'm going to be speaking today on exercised or forfeited dominion. Yours is the choice. It's either exercised or it's forfeited, and the choice is ours, okay? The truth is we have the legal spiritual right to give the devil no agreement, no legal ground, right? So that's the truth. The truth is that we have the legal spiritual right. There are legal spiritual rights, and we walk in the fullness of legal spiritual right because God Almighty, the King of Kings, has given his blood. He shed his blood. That was through Jesus. And so because of his blood, we are actually under an anointing that says we have already overcome. So therefore, we will not give what's been given to us to the accuser of the brethren and give him a legal right, a foothold. Correct? Amen. We know we are seated in the heavenly places. This has been given to us by the Lord. We understand our dominion. And so therefore, we will exercise our dominion and not allow it to remain dormant. Because allowing your position of authority to remain dormant is giving access to the enemy in a passive way. So your failure to speak is still giving access to the enemy in a passive way, right? So I could say it like this. What I do not exercise, I forfeit. What I do not exercise, I forfeit. What I do exercise, I dominate. What I exercise, I dominate. Even as a young boy, Jesus, 12 years old, he knew that he was about his Father's business. We are to be about our Father's business. Jesus understood authority even at a young age. We need to understand our authority and exercise it. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We are going to look at two scriptures. And I believe that the Lord is going to illuminate your understanding on these two scriptures. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 is the first scripture we're going to look at. Genesis 1 and 26. Let me read it to you from the Word. Are we ready? And then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." I'm going to stop for one moment. Could we turn the air on? It's pretty warm up here. Yeah, thank you. Over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, let them have. Let's go back to the beginning. It says, "Let us make man in our image." This is the role of the Lord. This is God's role. He already did it. Say, he already did it. He already did it. He made man in the image and in the likeness of God. But then it says, "And let them have dominion. Let them have. Let them have. It's already been given to you. You are not an average person. It says, let them have. Now, this part here is what we have to grab a hold of. Let them have this. It's ours to have. It's ours. It's ours for the taking. Let them have this. We cannot say, well, God's just going to do it for me. No, he said, let them have. If you have it, you have to exercise it. It's like if you have salvation, then you have to understand how to walk in it, right? Let them have. Let them have. I want to read this same scripture, but I'm going to omit some of the words, because sometimes when you expound on the scripture and you've got a lot of extra words, you can almost miss what's right in front of your eyes. It says, then God said, we know God is speaking, so we should listen. He said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Stop right there. Let them have dominion. Now, if we scan over where it says over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth, we could read it and say, let them have dominion over everything on earth. Let's look at it again. If we omit some of the things that we can kind of get bogged down, okay, yeah, the fish, okay, the birds, you know, these are just word pictures. These are just, you know, and yes, we have authority over them specifically, but it's not just them. If you omit those and get to the heart of what is being said, you will see that he is saying, let them have dominion over everything on earth. Amen. Well, that's so much more clearer than when we read over the fish, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing. And although all of that is true, sometimes the impact can lose some of its meaning if you're not listening to the fullness of what has just been said, what has just been given unto us. Let them have. Where? Where are we to have this dominion? Over everything on earth. Over everything on earth. Where does Satan live? On earth. Look at Job 1:7. Maybe we can put up Job 1:7. The Lord said to Satan, I'll read it for you as well. The Lord said to Satan, from where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, and he said, from going to and fro on earth. And from walking up and down on it. Where have you come from? Earth. Where's our dominion? Earth. Have you exercised it fully, or have you forfeited some of it because the devil is out to get what he is not supposed to have? We're supposed to have it. We do have it. Except for when we forfeit it. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be sober, sober-minded, fixed and focused in our thinking, solidified in our thoughts, which produce our words, which produce our emotions, what we think, what we feel, what we say, what we do, and what we actually live in. Correct? Be sober. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Be sober, or be attentive, or be one-minded, single-minded. Be vigilant. If you're vigilant, you are not taking your eyes off the prize. If you're vigilant, you are so steadfast. You are so focused. I don't care what comes against you. You will not shift your gaze. Vigilant. Vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about. Well, we know he walks about. We just read it. We just read it in Job 1:7. But here we are in 1 Peter 5:8. He walks about, and then he tells us how ferocious, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's walking about trying to do one thing, and that is to destroy the children of God. He's trying to destroy people if he can. And you know what? He does many times, because you've got a lot of compromised Christians that want to walk in in compromise, and they want to walk in the fear of man, and they don't want to be the one, you know, that one. They don't want to be the one that stands out for truth. They don't want to seem radical. They want to walk in compromise, and the devil has a heyday over those types of people.
Because of faithful partners like you, we are now in so many homes throughout the world, north, south, east, and west. God is expanding this ministry. I am just in awe. I wanted to take a moment right now and just thank you and encourage you as you continue to sow your seed. And for some of you, prayerfully consider becoming partners with us at this ministry, because lives are being changed. People are getting saved, healed, and delivered. Men and women of God are being fostered up, being raised up to stand for truth. So partner with us on a monthly basis as the Lord leads, because the seed that you sow in the ground is for the eternal purposes of God. Amen. God bless you. Let's get back to the teaching.
He has a heyday. Unfortunately, the more people, Christians, allow their dominion to be forfeited in this way, other people, innocent bystanders, are also affected. People that don't understand, stand up, rise up, know your rights, and don't cower. Innocent bystanders that are also affected, because a little leaven leavens the lump. And it just gets muddied. And it just, the compromise grows. We were called to be holy. We were called to be people, men and women, that would stand up and stand out. We were called to be people that understand, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the right that he has given us to be called his children, because we've been granted access into the Holy of Holies, that we get to stand partaking in everything Christ has given us, and we will not forfeit by being silent. But God says, I want you to exercise your authority, your dominion over all the things on earth, exactly where Satan tries to rule and reign. But we've been given the power from the Most High God. He has not. He's a fallen angel, and he has taken, you know, angels that fell with him, demons and minions that roam around the earth. But greater is the one that is in us than the one that roams around the earth. And more help has been sent unto us than that which would come against us. So there's no room for fear. We don't fear, except for God himself. What else? I mean, the Bible says, we just read it in Genesis 1:26, let them have. First he says, we will let us make. And then he says, let them have. When he said, let us make, that was God's job. He did it. But then he said, let them have. This is what you have. It's dominion over everything on earth, over every opposing force on earth, over every opposing force that tries to come against your family, your loved ones, your marriage, over your mind, over your emotions, over your future, over your purpose. Let them have dominion over the opposing forces that try to come against your livelihood, against everything that God is pouring into you and wanting you to walk in. We have dominion over that. He said, let them have. Let them have. He's let us have it all. We need to walk in it all. Because when we don't, it's being forfeited. And don't tell me that, oh no, I'd never do that. Because I'm telling you right now, there's more to learn to walk in. I don't believe any one of us have arrived. And I believe there's room for growth for everyone. But I know that God is right here with us, and he wants us to move in the more, in all of it. Amen? Let's look at John 14 and 30. Because in John 14, 30, it tells us the ruler of this world. He says, and this is Jesus speaking, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing. But he has nothing. But he has nothing in me. He has nothing at all in me. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. This is when Jesus was walking on earth. And we know that the ruler of this world tries to rule, and he does so in a sneaky way. He roams around. He tries to rule. And he does so right here. And he disguises himself as an angel of light many times. He will disguise himself as truth many times. It's not truth. Know the difference. Let discernment be so strong in you, and the discerning of gifts be what is so increased in you, that when the angel of light, the enemy, comes with his deceiving tactics, you recognize his ways right away, and you will not fall prey to his ways. We will not fall prey. As you press in to say, Lord, I thank you for strengthening me. I thank you for giving me stronger discernment and discerning of spirits, because they're two different things. But as I walk in the discernment of spirits, I know that is of God and that is not. One is true and one is false. The ruler of this world, Ephesians 2 and 20. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 20. In Ephesians 2:20, it tells us that he's the prince of the power of the air. He's the prince, but Jesus is the king. Never forget that. He's the prince, but Jesus is the king. He's the prince of the power of the air. So what? Tell me something that's really going to impress me, because that really doesn't. Right? Oh, he's the prince of the power. Well, Jesus is the king. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Amen? So he's the prince of the power of the air. Because, you know, some people will read this and go, yeah, he's the prince of the power of the air. So what? We know that. We're above that. We have the keys. Keys to the kingdom. We bind, we loose, we take apart, we trample upon, it's underfoot. So what? Know your rights. He's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit at work in the sons of disobedient, of the disobedient. He's not really at work in you unless you let him. He's not at work in us unless we give him access. Only when we give him access by sin in our lives, by being walking in disobedience, even for a moment, that's giving him access. That's where he's working in the sons of disobedience. He's not working in the sons of obedience. He's not working. He has no access when you're walking obediently to the Lord. He tries. He'll be knocking on your door. He'll try to affect you, but you just don't let him in, because you recognize the angel of light that's disguising himself as truth is trying to knock on my door to bring deception, but I'm not going to allow it, because the greater one lives in me, and I have discernment. Amen? Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to John 8. John 8 and 44. It's talking about the father of lies here, but I wanted to read the whole thing from the word. This is Jesus speaking. You are of your father, the devil. Don't you love how Jesus just told him the way it was? Didn't mince words, wasn't afraid to offend somebody, just told him the way it was. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. So I know your number. I know who you are. You're of your father, the devil, and it's his desires that you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Amen. There is absolutely no truth in him. And yet we have a culture, a generation that says this is old. This doesn't stand, the Bible doesn't stand anymore. It's old news. It's old news. We have a culture, children raised in the church that no longer serve God, that have been literally polluted by the devil himself and this false reality that says there's a new truth now. And we've got children and adult children and even just adults that have embraced a compromised religion because they couldn't handle the biblical truth. Biblical truth doesn't change. They would rather embrace a cultural truth and reject biblical truth. biblical truth never changes. The Bible never changes. It never gets old. It's never outdated. It's never going to be dead. It is always alive because it's the Word of God. And we will, as a church, be a church on fire that stands firm on the Word of God. We will not compromise the truth just because culture says a different story. Right? And it's not just what we will do, but we understand that our prayers and our stance will drive them back because the Word of God will work. It is our stance for truth that will bring them back to their knees, reminding them of who they are in Christ, because the Word is not dead. It continues to work. It's alive, sharper than a double-edged sword, and it will penetrate. It will divide between soul and spirit. Oh, it will. It will penetrate. It will divide between joints and marrow. That means that word that's already been planted and spoken, it will divide between the closest of the closest joints and marrow. It's going to divide between the tightest of all spaces within their heart and bring that truth, bring that clarity, bring the light, the true light of Christ. And they'll say, my God, I bought into a culture, a society, a house of cards. I bought into a lie because it positioned itself as truth. But now I see that biblical Christianity, biblical truth never changed. I will stand firm on the truth. I was allowing the enemy to cause me to forfeit who I was in Christ, but no more. So as we stand in firmly in truth, it is not just for us. We're paving a way for others to recognize. Maybe I forfeited. I guess I forfeited some my legal right in Christ. But no longer will I forfeit. Thank you for holding the fort down. Thank you for standing in the gap. Thank you for never giving up on me. For some, will we hear those words? Thank you for never giving up on me. For some, we're going to hear those words. And for others, it'll be different. It'll be something else, but it'll be whatever it is that you're going through. But you will hear those words of truth ringing loud and clear in your eyes, in your ears. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you. Thank you for never turning your back. Thank you for standing when you could have forfeited. There's a lot of people, a lot of Christians forfeiting. Why? Well, we don't want to lose them. We don't want to lose them. Maybe we just kind of, you know, not be so radical in this area. We don't want to lose them. They're pretty bent on going their way. We don't want to lose them. Let's just not be so bold. Let's be a little quieter. Let's not walk in the fullness. Hey, it could be just for us. Like, we can just pray quietly. We don't want to lose them. You guys know what I'm talking about, I'm pretty sure. Because I talked to a lot of parents, and it's very sad. It's like, what are you doing? You're throwing them to the wolves. What are you doing? This is not love. Love is going to stand firm on truth and wait for the reality of God's gospel to get them. And he will. We will not forfeit the truth by remaining silent when God says, I want you to speak and I want you to take dominion and I want you to trust and believe that what I have given you is going to continue to stand and you're going to see the victory. Amen? Amen. I was in the middle of verse 44. There's no truth in him. I'm just going to reread it. When you are of your father, the devil, says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar, and he's the father of it. He is a liar and the father of it. And Revelation 12 and 10 tells us that not only is he the prince of the power of the air, not only is he the ruler of this world, not only does the devil walks around, not only is he here on earth trying to go to and fro, trying to accuse and bring in condemnation and all that, right? Not only the father of lies, but he's the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12, 10, he's the accuser of the brethren who accused us before God day and night, but he's been cast down. Let's not forget the end. Let's not forget the end of that. Who accused them before our God day and night. So, oh, he's the accuser of the brethren. Oh, he's the accuser. He is, but he's been cast down. My God, that means he's been, the work of the cross is finished. The devil, the accuser of the brethren, has been cast down. Let the revelation hit somebody here in this place today. If it's been cast down, he's been cast down, though he tries to accuse you and say you were not enough, you didn't do enough, you weren't good enough, it was all your fault. It's the accuser of the brethren, but he's been cast down. He's under your feet. When you allow that voice to get the better of you, you've given access. You become one that starts to forfeit your legal rights. And it's subtle. It's very subtle. We will not tolerate it. We will not allow it. Amen? Amen. Let's go back to Genesis 1, because I had two verses from Genesis 1 that I wanted to read. I read 26, but I want to read 28. Thank you, Father. Because you know, Adam and Eve, they were made in the image and the likeness of God. Adam and Eve were made in the image and the likeness of God. They were called. What were they called to do? Well, they were called to have dominion over the enemy that roams on the earth, right? Amen. But they were also called to subdue the earth. Look at verse 28, which means we were also called to subdue the earth. Verse 28, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. To have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Have dominion. Subdue and have dominion on earth. Subdue and have dominion. Overcome if you're going to subdue. You know, some people are subdued by the enemy instead of being the one that subdues. Think about Galatians chapter 3. Who has bewitched you? Oh, foolish Galatian. Who has put a spell on you? He's talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians. Who has bewitched you? Who has subdued you? We're called to be the ones to subdue, not become the ones that are subdued. So, we know that Adam and Eve were subdued. That's why they fell from grace. They fell from the garden. They took the bait. They had to leave the garden because they were subdued. Our job is to resist. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Amen. Submit to God, resist the devil. James 4:7. We will submit to God, we will resist the devil. I will submit to God, I will resist the devil. James 4:7, I will submit to God, I will resist the devil. And then what does he have to do? He has to flee. These are the words of Christ. So we didn't write them, we didn't make them up. It wasn't something we manufactured. It wasn't some plan, some great plan of ours. It is the plan of God. That means it works every time when we approach a holy God in right standing and say, Lord, you said it. Lord, I'm walking in agreement with what you said. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I am not going to forfeit my right. I am not going to forfeit my authority. I am not going to allow the enemy or this world, the prince of the power of this air, to subdue me. I don't care how strong he tries to become. I don't care how many people I see going to hell in a handbasket, and I see a lot. I will not be subdued. How? I'm going to stay in the word of God. I'm going to stay faithfully, truthfully in this word that is in me, and I will overcome because I've already done it because of Christ. Amen? Yeah. So we're called to submit to God. We're called to resist the devil. In Luke 10:19, we're called to trample over the devil because we've been given authority over snakes and over scorpions, Luke 10:19, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. In Mark 3:27, we're called to bind him. These are just some of our spiritual rights. These are just some of the things that we've been called to walk in, and we shall walk in them. We will not forfeit what has been given to us by our Maker. The one that we've been made in the image and in the likeness of. The one that we've been called to walk in dominion and subdue the earth. and everything that is contrary to the will of God. Mark 3:27 talks about binding. How can you enter into a strong man's house without first binding, plundering, and taking what is rightfully yours, not allowing it to have its way? Plunder the house, but first bind the strong man. And we know that in Mark 16 and 17, we're called to cast him out. Say it with me. I'm called to cast him out. It's a sign of a believer. If you're a believer, you're called to cast out devils. If you're a believer, you're called to walk in dominion. If you're a believer, you're called to subdue the enemy. If you're a believer, you're called to walk above and not beneath. If you're a believer, you're called to walk in the fullness of victory and not just partially. Dominion. Are we exercising it or is it unexercised in our lives? I'm not asking for answers right now. I'm asking you to think about it. I'm asking you to bring it before the Lord. Dominion. Are you truly exercising it? Or are there areas in your life where it's a bit unexercised? That's something that you and the Lord, you deal with it. The Lord will help you. He'll show you those areas, because the areas that you are not walking in the dominion of the Lord, you're walking unexercised. You're allowing something to be forfeited simply because you are either tolerating something, you're just overlooking, or you're too tired, or whatever it is. Now, don't get me wrong. There's the grace of God. I've been through many different seasons, and there are so many times where the Lord says, "Leave, let me do it. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. You rest." There are so many different seasons, but you got to know the season you're in. You got to know the season that you're in. And we walk by the Spirit, and he tells us, right? And there are times you do see things, and you do know things. But God either hasn't released you at that moment, or he's saying, wait, stop, you've done what you were supposed to do, and now I need you to not say that, not do that. Trust me, right now, don't say a word, just pray quietly. So we need to know the seasons. But seasons change, and we need to be attentive to what season we're in. Because when the Lord says the season has changed, we can't still be sleeping on the job because the last season it was quieter. Wake up. If it's a time to be stirred up, then wake up. Because there are people on your watch that need you to be attentive and alert and not forfeit what is rightfully yours. Amen.